Good morning, Academy.
Hey,
good
everybody.
Morning, online family. It is so good to be joining you guys this morning, live here from Melbourne, Australia. If you don't know who we are, my name is Jay. I'm one of the team members here at Breakthrough Church in Bayswater, Victoria. And we're joined today by our senior pastor and my dad, Pastor Peter Lewis.
Hey, everybody. So glad you could be here with us. And obviously, we don't have Josh this morning.
No, we can't.
I didn't even know we were going to have Jay till late last night. So they got back very late last night from being up
in Queensland. But...
And Josh got even later. He lives further away. Mm. And I'm not sure he's...
I'm not sure. He might not even gotten home yet at this point.
And I know his car was getting repaired.
Yeah, that's
I don't think he had a car to come back here today. So I've got Jay. And this is the amazing thing. Like last week, I was thinking I won't run anything this week, but I just felt my heart. Let's do it. And I didn't know that Jay was ready to come in. Mm. I didn't know we've got other people here in the studio. We've got Katie watching us. This is why we're doing it this morning, because I'm excited. We've got so much in the Word to get through, and you get a one-on-one lesson.
That's it. I'm excited.
You don't even have to share it with Josh today.
It's going to be really fun. And we love getting to do this, not just, as we said, ourselves. If you don't know what Academy was, Academy is our Bible teaching program here at Breakthrough. It started 3 years ago?
I think so.
I think 3 years ago now. Basically, the concept was we used to run a Bible school, a proper accredited Bible school back in the day. I haven't run that since COVID and a couple other things for a while now. And it got on Dad's heart, or on our senior pastor's heart, that he was like, you know what? There's so much teaching in the Bible. And Dad has an incredible Bible brain, you know? I was in Queensland. And I was studying my Bible, and there was a concept that God was working in my heart. And anytime there was something I did, I was like, ooh. I'd read something, like, I feel like there's a lot of Bible context in that. Immediately, I'd just call Dad. I'm like, Dad, can you help me understand the Bible context here? Because he's got such an amazing wealth of knowledge in that area. So I went to him, and he's taken that, and he wants to teach us not... This isn't where you're going to learn what's in the Bible. You're not going to learn what's in the Bible in the Academy, are you?
Well, you do, but that's
you learn a little bit, but you don't come in to learn what's in the Bible. You learn how to get something out of the Bible. He's going to teach you. We're learning the keys to take the words on this page and make them come alive, figure out the context of them, the depths of them, how we can adapt them and apply them to our lives, and learn the systems and
the principles
of how to do that in our regular life. So that's what we're doing at Academy, is taking the Word and learning the principles of how to study it, how to dive deep into its roots, and how to apply it into our lives. Not what it says. Yeah. So then we can take those principles and apply it to everything in the Bible.
That's the thing. My mandate is to train up people like Jay and Josh and anyone here watching, to train you up, not just in the core foundation of principles and truths of the Bible, but in the actual foundations of how they come together and how we understand them, so that I'm setting you up for a lifetime of learning from the Word of God. I'm not just telling you 10 things that the Bible says about covenant, or 20 things the Bible says about Paul. I'm teaching you about how to go to the Bible, understand how the Bible explains itself, shows itself, how to use the Holy Spirit to lead you, how to research, so that you have a lifetime of discovery in the Word of God. So it's a dual purpose. We're teaching you core things that'll help you in your Christian life, but in a way that gives you the tools to go away. Mm. And that's why this is Academy. I'm not doing what I do when I'm preaching. I'm doing teaching. We take time. We also take time to say, how did we come to know that? Because we work on one of the key truths about the Bible, that the Bible explains the Bible. Mm. And we don't have to go outside the Bible to get the fullness of the revelation that God has for us. You don't look at the Bible and say, oh, it's beyond me. You can study it, you can meditate on it, but then as you read other passages, as you grow in the Lord, as you come back to things, things will make more and more sense. Now, I do use research, we use maps, we use help with the languages and all the other things, but ultimately we say the Bible will explain the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, God says there's enough there for you to get it. And there's some things I think, oh Lord, why don't you explain that more? He's like, well, you don't need it.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get a little bit caught up. And this is the study we're doing today is one of the ones where people can get caught up, because it's a little bit trying to make sense of the Bible, and sometimes it's like, why didn't the Bible just say it so clearly?
Yeah.
Why are we having to do it through different eyes and different focuses. You know, you got Paul's account of his life in the book of Galatians, and you got Luke's account of what happened, and they don't match up very easily. And it's like, oh, wouldn't it have been easier if everyone just sort of sat in one room and said, let's do this. But no, this is the reality you get when you send six people to go to an event and come back and they all write about it. Mm. And then you say, oh, some of it doesn't make sense. It doesn't collate. But what you've got is the value of six people's perspective. You've got multiple views of the same thing. And if you just had one view, sometimes it all fits neatly in the box because there's nothing to contradict
it. Exactly.
But if you and I both go there and I say we arrived at 10:37 and you say we arrived at 11, well, hang on a sec. Who's lying? You know, who's wrong? But I'm a very inexact person, and I know it's 10:37. Mm. You're using, well, we didn't arrive at 9, we didn't arrive at 10, we arrived at 11. You're just using it as a rounding number. All right? But but people sometimes like, oh, why does one person say this? Why does one person say that? How does it blend in? And those questions are good, but they can become distracting too.
That's true.
Some people can become consumed with those questions of trying to work out how they fit. I'm not saying that there's not answers. I'm saying I don't mind you looking at those as long as what the message is holding the biggest place in your heart and it's challenging you and you're looking for the answers and so that you can learn how to better apply this because there is a chance some people get caught up in the questions but lose sight of what is plain and what is clear and why Paul said that and why Luke said this. So we're going to do a little bit of that today, and I'm doing it to, again, so we understand what the Bible says, but also to give you some training in how to do this yourself.
Exactly. Take any training. Okay, I'm a teacher at Swinburne. If I'm going to train the students in a photography concept, I would teach them the principles. And then what's the next thing you would do? Apply it. Make them apply it in a practical scenario. Okay, we're going to learn about shutter speed. I'm going to teach you the basics. And then we're going to go out into a field and you're going to take a camera and shoot it at 1/10 of a second and 1/2000th of a second and see what the difference is. And we're going to use a practical example of, we're going to go and shoot a train going past. We're going to use something that's a specific example. Same thing with this. We're going to use an example. So you will get Bible learning. But it's not about the Bible learning. It's not saying, I wouldn't want my students to go away and say, sweet, now I know how to photograph a train.
No.
I'm like, no. You could say, no, now I know how to take shutter speed into any photography I do.
If it's a child on a bicycle, if it's an athlete running.
It's the same principle.
If it's something even faster, I'm taking the same principle.
If I'm photographing F1 or if I'm photographing a snail crawling, it's the same principles in different contexts.
Exactly. So we're going to look at particularly the book of Galatians. We've been studying the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is in the context. In the book of Acts, we are introduced to a lot of the places that then we start to read about as letters later on. So you read Corinthians. Well, we know where Corinthians started, and Paul wrote two letters that we have there. You have Galatians, and we have Ephesians, we have Philippians, we have Colossians. These places were all in the story of Acts, and so we do this by then seeing the crossover, because, you know, to be honest, it's very hard when these just names like the Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. It'd be so much different if I said, I've just written a letter to the people at Adelaide.
Mm.
So everyone here knows, okay, that's that city. It's not Sydney. You know, writing a letter to Sydney versus writing a letter to Adelaide.
Or even more like if you said, I'm going to write a letter to, I'm trying to think of like a small Victorian town, you know?
Okay,
I'm writing a letter to Yarrawonga. If Pastor Peter said, I just got back from preaching at the church at Wangaratta.
Yep.
Okay, there's a couple things you could take from it. Number one, it's not Sydney. You haven't gone to Brisbane. You haven't gone to a big city. You've gone to
a smaller town.
Number two, this is something you might not know straight away. That's his hometown. You've probably gone back to the church you grew up in. I went to school
in Wangaratta. I went to church in Wangaratta.
This historical context would add to it. And then there's also personal context that, as you've learned from him and listened to other teaching, you'll know that's actually his hometown.
Yeah, so why Wangaratta? Why not Shepparton? Why not all this? Because...
He grew up in Wangaratta.
I grew up. And so you know, and so those things have context in them. And so, but sometimes we'll read the Bible, they don't have context.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for instance, you know, a book of Ephesians, book of Galatians, even in that, Ephesians was written to Ephesus, a city. Galatians was written to a region.
Yeah.
All right, so it's like writing to Victoria as opposed to writing to Melbourne. But even that is, most people...
Yeah,
just, it doesn't make any difference to them because, you know, writing to the letter to Philippians, Colossians, Paul never visited Colossae.
Yeah, okay.
He was writing to a city that he hadn't been to. How does that differ? Why does he write that to them? He wrote a letter to the Laodiceans. Do you remember reading that letter? No, we don't have that letter. But in the book, letter to the Colossians, he said, make sure the Laodiceans get to read this letter and read the letter I wrote to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, oh, we know he wrote a letter to them.
Yeah. Why is that not in the Bible?
We don't get that one. So, but these places, they can just say like, oh, that's all right. As long as I just understand what the Bible says, that's the main thing. Yeah. I don't have to understand all this.
Let's be honest. I've heard this story, but other people have done it, but I've done it as well. How many of you have ever started your... You're like young and you decide you're going to start a New Year Bible reading program. And
I'm going to read the Bible.
I decided I'm going to get through the whole New Testament this year. Because Bible reading was never my good thing as a teenager. Nothing takes the wind out, takes the air out of your tires. Like starting on Matthew 1 and reading your first 10 years and all I've read is names that means squat all to me as I'm reading. I get to the end of it, I'm like, where's the revelation in this?
I reckon there should be a...
There should be a context. They should have a little marker on it. I've done my first day of the Bible reading. Nothing makes... Oh, and all I've heard is names of fathers and sons of people.
Yeah.
And every 15th one I recognize.
Well, what about people? So I'm going to read the Bible. And there should be a special place in heaven where all the people gather who stop reading in Leviticus.
Yeah, exactly. I've given up here.
They go, Genesis, Exodus. They get to Leviticus. What is this?
Is it Chronicles or Kings that starts...
First Chronicles.
I was working at a school. I was working maintenance there, just like a holiday job, and they gave me to set up for a big event. So I'd got my phone, and I was going to set up 600 chairs in the big gym and just set up for a big event they had. Yeah. So I was just one person going through and moving 600 chairs. It was going to take a couple of hours, and I'm like, I'm gonna use this chance to listen to an audio Bible because I'm trying to get better Bible knowledge. So I put my headphones in and then I've turned my phone on the Bible and left it in another room. So I don't have access to my phone. And I meant to put on 1 Corinthians and listen to that. And I've actually put on 1 Chronicles. So I spent 2 hours listening to names being read out, trying desperately to find my phone. And all I got, that was a waste of 2 hours of Bible. Like, all I've done is just listen to names read out in my ears for 2 hours as I'm setting up chairs because I couldn't find my phone. I'm like, I thought I was going to get all this revelation from Paul today. And I've come away with names I didn't know.
That was a good story.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, God, I'm like, hopefully you saw my heart in that. Surely there's something I've got out of this.
Good morning. Oh, so we've got a few people joining us.
You're joining us. Good morning, Lee.
And Katie and Christine and Joe and Sheba.
Sheba. Good morning, Sheba.
He's still asleep. Are we talking about Jay now?
Yeah, pretty much. No, that's why I got sleep alternative here.
Yeah, so, no, I fully expected Jay and Josh not to be here, but thankful Jay's come to join us. Let's go to the book of Acts.
Should we start with prayer?
Yeah, why don't you pray?
Why don't we pray to start? God, we thank you for this amazing opportunity we have to come together in Academy, Lord, and learn more about your word. God, I thank you. I think back to a message I heard a few weeks ago from Pastor Chris Vallotton from Bethel. We was talking about the in the Bible, Lord, how it's like they knew your word, but they couldn't recognize Jesus, you know. And Jesus was getting so annoyed at the Pharisees because he's like, they knew your word, but they didn't know you. And I thank you, Lord, that through all this, we don't just want to learn your word. We want to learn about you. We want to be drawn closer to the author. We want to be drawn closer to you. through all this. May become alive in our hearts today, God. I thank you that maybe not just be reading words, maybe we be reading stories about you and your grace, your love, your faithfulness, your mercy, your joy, your peace, your hope, God, your goodness, your favor. May those concepts be coming alive in our hearts today. May we become so much more passionate for you, so much more passionate for taking your word out this morning, Lord. I thank you that may we read these stories of people like Paul and not just read the words, but realize that could be us going and defending your word, going and taking your words into every corner of the earth and doing whatever we can to further your ministry, to further your name here on earth, Lord. So we thank you for today. Give us open hearts, give us open minds, Lord. I thank you that this word is your truth. Let us mold our lives around what your truth says. Let us not mold these words around what our lives want us to say. Let us be molding ourselves around your word today. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. All right. As I've said before, I encourage you, read the book of Acts. Mm. Get a pencil out. Get a color, you know, some coloring pencils, highlighters, whatever, read through. Whenever you come across a name of a town and you're following them through, have a map that, next to you. Get something. Yeah, if you don't have
this one you would recommend?
There's anything. I've got a book here of maps of Bible lands. This is a kid's book. Go down and buy a kid's book of maps, because it just it just simplifies it. You can go online and I've recommended iBible Maps.
Yeah.
The letter I. Bible
like an
Maps.
iPhone.
Like an iPhone. This is not an Apple product.
We were talking to someone a couple of weeks ago. And they were saying that they were really annoyed that they didn't grow up in a Sunday school. Because they're like, they hear so many of us, and a lot of us who were like a friend group, we all grew up in a Sunday school. So when we read things, we've known them from Sunday school teachings, and you just hear it your whole childhood. And this guy was saying, he's annoyed that he didn't have that experience, because as a result, he doesn't have that context to put in. And we suggested, you should just go down to a Christian bookstore and get a kid's book on Bible stories, where it just goes through a page at a time telling you every story. Read them, and if there's a story you don't know, then you can go to the Bible, and that can just give you the context of all the stories.
Yeah, great idea.
Cuts out all the stuff in between, which, as you said, really important stuff, like the names, like the genealogy. We make fun of it then, but the reality is, if you don't have that, that's how you put it in the context and learn to study the Bible, is you need those things in there. But to get your context, it's sometimes good just to go through and hit the stories. Same reason.
Great idea.
What do every time someone's like new to the church and they want to start reading the Bible, first place you push them.
Book of Mark.
It's just
fast paced.
It's, you know, it's like in nowadays when I watch a TV show, half the time I watch it in full, half the time I just watch it on Instagram or YouTube Shorts, where they just take like the fight scenes and put it into like a 60-second clip, and I'll watch five fight scenes, and that gives me what I need to know about the episode. That's the Book of Mark. It tells you the important stuff. So it's a good way, if you didn't grow up in church or this is new to you, just go get like a kid's book and read all the stories. And if there's one you don't know or catches your interest, go and find just Google the reference to it and read it in full, and then you can go from there.
Okay, so I'm going up, I'm pulling up, you know, so you can get something like this, which is just very simple, and have that next to you, and read through. The reason for this is that it puts context in it, it puts little things to hang what's happening. I love, you know, I suggest you do it when you're reading Jesus' story. It'll make it richer when you realize he's going from Galilee down to Judea. These places, suddenly you see the journeys, they do make a difference, and it's not hidden stuff, it's just there, but it's just because it's unfamiliar. We're talking about names and places, so by becoming familiar with them, it just provides a context that is there. So it's not like, oh, I'm doing secret stuff. I'm just
And it was intended for the people it was written to, that they would know those things.
Exactly. The people, it was using names and places they're familiar with.
I always hate when people are like, oh, if the Lord intended me to understand it, he would have said it and stuff. I'm like, well, he did intend for it to understand, but the people they were writing to already knew those things. So it's like, you know, we have to take an extra step for that.
So this is iBible Maps, and it's actually animated. So you can see things like Paul's first missionary journey. So up we go.
Antioch to Cyprus.
Around here, the Paphos, they come over here. See if I can go ahead of them. and up to Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, back again. We skip Cyprus on the way back. There's reasons for that. Paul never goes to Cyprus again after this point. And back to Antioch. Okay, so there we go. That's a nice, easy map, sort of showing this region. I have learnt something in the last week or so. I'm sort of almost embarrassed to say it got past me because I locked something in and had not done any research on it for a long time until I sort of worked through. But it was like coming to this point, I'm just wanting to understand what's happening here. I'm spending a lot of time meditating on God's telling me, and he's telling me to meditate in the book of Galatians. And I'm like, I'm studying Acts, and it's like, okay, but there's overlap here, and I didn't realize until, often God was telling me to study something, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I studied like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I never would have thought of studying that.
No.
But it was like, how does that connect here? Oh, I didn't really realize there was a connection. All right, but can you point to me? Can anyone see it? I know it's a bit hard.
Are you looking for what we recognize in that?
Yeah.
Okay, my first thought, this might be not what you're talking about. What's there that stopped them just doing that and turning into a circle? I think my first thought is, why do they go back that long way? Was there someone or something that happened there that...
Well, if you actually look there, it's nicely hidden by the little thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing.
It's Tarsus. It's where Paul was from.
Yeah.
So it's his hometown. No, it's not to do with that. It's because they wanted to revisit the church.
Okay, they wanted to... I didn't know if it was Paul had been kicked out of there or something. No. He couldn't go through there.
They wanted to go back, establish the churches, make sure they're doing okay. Because they had to run out of a lot of them. They didn't leave them quietly. They didn't run off, so quickly go back, make sure they're okay, get the churches established, appoint elders.
Paul and Barnabas come back with fake glasses and a mustache on to check what's going on. The newspaper with the eyes cut out, just walking around.
Yeah, the real reason Paul changed his name from Saul to Paul.
He came out there for the trip back.
Oh, no. I do not know this Saul you're talking about. I am a Paul. So they go back and they...
Saul, I have a Paul to hear that. You're Paul? Sure, that works.
Yeah. This is what tricked me, all right? So apologies for everybody who's like, duh, get up with the times. This has been known for 100 years, but I was not across it. Because where is Galatia? You can see it in the map here. It's pointed nice and high up here. This map doesn't show any boundaries.
Yep.
All right. So that's not... Asia is a region. And so... And Galatia, the ones in red here are regions. And sometimes when Paul talks... also, just to confuse you, just to throw us off, this is a little of a trick. Asia in the Bible is not Asia in our maps today. Okay. This is Asia, or sometimes called Minor Asia, these regions. This is called... whereas we have Asia, which is in the Orient, much further east. So when it refers to the Asia in the Bible, and they've just got to learn those little things.
Would that be because of like people migrating from the Asia across and that set up those cultures?
I actually don't know. I do know from this week where Galatia got its name from. It's that the people that came here, they're Celts. Now, when I think of Celts, C-E-L-T-S, I think of the Irish.
Yeah.
What are the Irish doing over here? Well, the Celts came from Gaul.
Yeah.
Gaul in France. That's why people who read the Asterix books in Gaul, that was what France was called during the Roman times. And the Celts were the people that were in that European area. Celts came over here. They were brought over to help a king who was struggling, and so he brought them over as like mercenaries. Anyway, they went wild. They started pillaging all of the villages and the towns, and they established themselves over here. So Galatia is from Gaulatia. That's from those people. Anyway, the Celts eventually settled further over, and then eventually they're known for where they settled in Ireland and place like that. So anyway, there's a connection there. So let's blame the Irish for the problems in Galatia. That's not what I'm saying. But anyway, it works like that.
Apparently it's also modern-day Turkey.
Yeah, so modern-day Turkey in this region. So these are this area. Anyway, it doesn't show where the... So Galatia is up here. And when Paul came... And let's look at a scripture here.
Where are we going?
We will go to Acts 16.
Do you want me to do it on the iPad for you?
No, I'll do it because it's
going to be... Act 16?
Act 16.
Okay.
This is the second missionary journey. So, actually, why don't we... I'll just show it to you here. So, that we saw the first missionary journey. And now we go to this... Oh. That's the right button. I'm going to go to the second missionary journey. Paul... We'll talk about this. Paul said, I want to go back and revisit the churches.
Yeah.
That we established. So, Paul... So look at where he starts. Okay, he's starting... They show it from Jerusalem. I don't know why. Anyway, back to Antioch. So up there, visiting through Tarsus this time.
Yeah, came also to Derbe and to Lystra.
All right, and look at that. They're going all the way over to Troas. I'll bring that down a bit.
Philippi.
And then around here, a lot of...
That's Monday, okay. Romania, isn't it?
Sorry?
Bulgaria, up there, modern-day Bulgaria.
A bit further up. That's Macedonia. It is modern-day Macedonia.
Macedonia, yeah.
And Greece. Yeah. Greece, Macedonia.
Athens, yeah.
Okay, so, and then back down this way. Now, and over here, some famous names over here. Philippi.
Philippians.
Thessalonians. Berea. There should have been a book called Bereans, but they were pretty good, so I didn't need to write a letter to them.
they were doing fine. Yeah. Shortest book in the Bible, to the Bereans. Well done.
Well done.
Greetings, Paul.
Good job.
Well done. Say a letter.
Keep going. Athens. Corinth down here, so Corinthians, yep. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So a lot of the books of the Bible from over here,
yeah.
Ephesus back here on Ephesians. The way back, Ephesians. So, you know, we get a lot of our New Testament from the second missionary journey.
Yeah.
Now, the first missionary journey is going through the towns. These are all the towns that he visited. Now, we did it this way.
Yeah.
Now he's doing it this way. But have a listen to what he says in chapter 16. He's gone through, he's picked up Timothy. So, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. All right.
Hang on.
There's Galatian and Phrygian. I'm not showing it. Phrygian's down here.
Yep.
All right, okay. Up here, it's on this map. It's showing Phrygia here. Galatian, Phrygian. Okay. Can you see he passed through?
Yep.
But Galatian, Phrygian here.
Yeah.
But the port, and it says... passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So remember we said that this whole area is Asia.
Yep.
He wanted to speak. He wanted to spread out here.
Yeah, he wanted to go up there.
Yeah.
Asia, yeah.
And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. So, verse 7, when they'd come to Mysia.
Mysia, that's left. That's... Just behind there, I think.
Yeah.
I guess behind that.
Yeah.
Based on this one, it'd be like... Oh.
Yeah, it's really...
It's about where the word Asia is.
And this is the problem. You know, not every map has everything. Yeah, so my shows here, just where it says Asia.
Yep.
It's the region of here. They were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them.
Bithynia.
Bithynia's up here.
Okay.
All right, so they wanted to go up.
Oh, that's even further north.
So I think the map probably goes like they wanted to go up here, but they had to end up
cutting off.
Yeah. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So Troas is the city there.
Yeah.
All right, so he wanted to go Galatia, Phrygia, then he thought, well, maybe not there. Let's try up here.
No,
not there, and here.
Had to go a bit further.
So he keeps like getting pushed further over here. His plan was not to go over there.
Yeah.
His plan was to
go to
from here and spread around.
Yeah.
Okay.
To go north instead of west.
Yeah, and to up into this all this region up here.
Mm.
No, over here. All right. So that was his plan, and it talks about going to Galatia and Phrygia. He said they went through Galatia and Phrygia.
Yeah.
How
amazing! Like even just thinking that through then. It's like, imagine you wanted to minister in something.
Yeah.
You know? And God's saying, actually, no, you're not called to that. But you don't avoid it. You actually have to still go through. But the trust in the Holy Spirit and the, you know, the obedience to not to say, we're just going to stop for a few days here and do, and like, can you imagine, like, you're like, oh, God, I really feel you've called me to a ministry in,
Let me give an example. Yeah, okay. Sorry for our Teresa and people in America. This might not be, okay. We do a missions trip and we go through Victoria. So a lot of country towns in Victoria.
Yeah, of course.
And I say, Jay, let's go back and revisit the country towns of Victoria and strengthen them. But I've got in my heart, we're not going to stop there.
No. We're going to go up.
I love what Paul says. Let's go back and revisit them. But in his heart, is like,
I think I want to.
So we're going to New South. We're going to Victoria, but we're going to do some of the towns in southern New South Wales.
Yeah.
We're going to move over into there. But as we're going, and as we go through the towns, the Lord says, "Don't minister here."
We're going to Brisbane.
Oh, so okay. Well, we'll push up maybe to Queensland.
Yeah.
Okay, so we start heading up to Queensland. As we go up towards Queensland, God says, "Don't minister here." And so we go. Well, we don't. So we kind of we end up in Darwin.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're in Darwin, and that's not where we wanted to be. That's not where we intended to be.
No, but it's
we're like, so you've joined me on a missionary journey, and we're going to go to the areas of Victoria. We end up in Darwin, and twice I've said, well, we're actually, tomorrow we're going to head into New South Wales. In the morning I said, sorry, fellas.
We're actually heading to Queensland.
Heading to Queensland. Wake up the next, you know, we travel, because you travel a little bit to get there.
We're going to head to Darwin.
We're heading over to Darwin. And they're like, okay, if he wakes up tomorrow and says,
we're going
to Perth.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going home.
You know, exactly.
You know, was it the three strikes and you're out sort of leadership stuff?
Exactly. We're leaving you in Darwin.
And Paul says, I've had a vision in the night. Mm-hmm. I've seen a man in Macedonia. So it would be like, I've seen a man in Bali.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because
I've seen a man. I've seen a man in Bali crying, saying, "Help us! We're going to Asia. We're going over into a whole new area." And then we travel from Bali, and then we go up to, you know, Thailand, and we might, you know, Malaysia. We do a whole lot of Asian, and we spend a lot of time. We do a whole lot of Asian countries, and so that's really what happened here. Instead of being here, he's now over in this region.
Yeah, and like when you think that's like, if that's modern day Turkey, that's Macedonia going up towards that's a big gap.
We're
to
on
make.
One side of Greece, but Paul's like, okay, so I just want you to get the feel for that, but I want you also to see where the maps show Galatia, because when Paul wrote to the Galatians, it's up here. That's the region up there. Yeah. Except, this is what I've discovered. If you put the lines on, where Galatia is has not been as clearly defined, and over the years, especially the last 120-140 years, they've worked out the Galatian region extended right down to here.
So like Antioch.
And... Yeah, so these areas could also be referred to as Galatia.
Okay.
All right.
So okay, to give us a modern example, would that be like
Well, the towns in northern Victoria.
Yeah.
Which I said I suddenly realised when we're talking about New South Wales.
Yeah, okay. You're talking about Shepparton or something like
Shepparton and Wodonga and Wangaratta.
Yeah.
And places like that, which are not in New South Wales.
But
I've got letters here from the original explorers to
the
people in New South Wales. And I'm like, well, that must be up there.
No.
New South the original maps. This included these towns.
Yeah.
This was known as Galatia as well. So
could that also be because it's like expand out? Like, okay, for instance, if someone wrote thinking smaller to Melbourne, if that was done 150 years ago, to Melbourne would mean sort of the CBD. Whereas now we're an hour away from Melbourne, we could still be considered the church.
Yeah.
Like, it could be like that sort of expanding out onto the edges of the city and the towns.
Well, it's because it's a region and regions and the boundaries of regions are
not as well defined as they are now.
And even now. So, like, and we have this today, even some of the places, Google Maps gets into difficulty because they draw boundaries and countries get mad.
Yeah,
because they say no.
Wars can be started over things like that.
They are wars started over things like that.
Yeah, exactly. There's war.
There's nations. Some of the South American countries, have boundaries that they're fighting over. In Africa, just above, there's a country just above Ethiopia, and there was a lot of dispute about where the boundary was. So things like that. So
I remember talking to a church in Queensland, where they were saying that they were right on the border of Queensland and New South Wales, and during COVID, they had a real issue because they were literally 3 minutes into Queensland, like 5 minutes into Queensland. Like they were so close to the border. And they said, so half their congregation were from New South Wales. Queensland had gone out of lockdown. New South Wales was still in lockdown. So half their congregation weren't allowed to go to the church, whereas the other half could because of they're in different... And they said, there's literally a street, which one side of the street is Queensland, one side is New South Wales. And they had families in the church which were on either side of the street, and only one of them were allowed to go to church, and the other half weren't. And they're like, we literally, if we lived on the other side of the street, we'd be allowed to go to church right now. And they're like, they said it was... So, yeah, borders can be quite tricky.
Tricky. And so, anyway, what happens is that it is reasonable for this region to be called Galatia. So when Paul was writing to the churches, was he writing to what they call it North Galatia or Southern Galatia?
Yeah.
Which area? Because that changes a whole lot of details. So I didn't know that there was like a Southern Galatian option.
Mm.
Because this, to me, was Galatia was up here, and it was unnamed churches. It was just churches in Galatia. Because I don't know of any time when Paul actually travelled there. I just assume he did at some point.
Yeah,
you know, because he wanted to and he would, and not every trip is recorded in the Bible.
Exactly.
And so later on, he could have just gone up there. But it changed everything when I realised. Mm. Oh, hang on a sec. What happens if Paul's not speaking to these unnamed churches that I don't know about? What if we're talking about the churches that he has been to?
Yeah.
And that I know the names of. So it's like I've been reading these. I've been studying these stories about Antioch and Pisidia. I've been reading about Iconium, about Lystra, and about Derbe. I've been reading what happened there. Mm. Suddenly, the letter Paul was writing to the Galatians
could be to them
was to these churches.
Yeah,
and when you start to look at timelines and things like that, to me it makes a lot of sense. But what you've got to do is it doesn't say these things. You've got to put some pieces together.
Mm.
Now, thank God for Bibles that have at the start of each Bible, each book of the Bible, they'll have a little intro. They'll say this is who it's written to and a little bit of details.
If you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so there's a Bible.
Is it going to go autofocus? I have no idea.
If you don't have a study Bible, then you've got. Thank God for the.
They're
internet.
Really good.
You don't have to. You know, when up for my 21st birthday, I gave a list of all the study books I wanted. All right, you know, so people, if you want to buy me a gift, buy me this set of commentaries. Buy me this set of Bible dictionary. Because I understood as a teenager, this was my calling. This is what God's given to me. And on my 18th birthday, I got Bible study books.
How many people now are grateful that Pastor did that back for his 18th and 21st birthday? How many of us have been the beneficiaries of those decisions that you made?
Well, I'm so grateful that now I carry that. I've got the equivalent of about two-thirds of my library on my phone. And so much the reference books that I go to. And then the ones I don't have, I can go searching for articles on Galatia.
YouTube videos and, or stories.
So there's so much. It's easy. No excuses.
Yeah.
You didn't have to use your birthday money. You can just go on there and you can search. It does mean that you've got to be a little bit wise. Jay, this might shock you. Not everything written in Wikipedia is correct.
No.
All right.
You mean Jack Rewalt's not the lead singer of The Killers?
So, you've got to be a little bit more careful. And that's why I try and point you like iBible maps.
Mm.
It's nice and simple. But you can go and look at other Bible maps, compare them and get some overlays. But it's not always easy. Sometimes you want to look at something. So you can just type something like background to Galatians, or who was Galatians written to, or something like that. And you can go just do a little bit of reading. Don't get too far down the rabbit hole. You actually want to study Galatians. You don't want to spend, because, you know, sometimes people...
Come 6 months later, fantastic historian on the first century East Asia. Don't know too much about what's in the book of Galatians.
Yeah,
do I know what that tells.
Not very good at loving God or my neighbour, but, you know...
Boy, do I know when they celebrated their holidays.
Yeah, did you know they've got a different calendar back then? Did you know?
Come in
did
Rome.
You know, did you know the Galatians are actually from Gaul?
Come into the New Church wearing robes and these.
The Celts. I can tell you all about the Celtic history and where they went to.
Do you know the materials they used to that?
I might have got sidetracked in my studies. So, yeah, you've got to be careful. You've got to just stick to it. But you can do a little bit of research. So you can go to people like Bible Project and they'll have they got an overview of each book and things like that. You can just watch it.
Yeah, really, and very well done, 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Really good stuff.
So, but as always, they're good. Then you go back to the Bible with a little bit, you know, with your map next to you and a little bit of information, and you just start reading. And what you're wanting is the Bible will start to make sense. Like, for instance, just by putting this map up here, and then where did we go to? We just started to read what Paul did in Acts chapter 16. Mm. By reading Acts 16 and looking at the map, how much difference did it make?
Exactly.
All right. We haven't gone outside the Bible. All we've done is we've just gone back to the Bible, taken a moment to read it, and just follow. Then what you do is say, and what we did, what would it be like to be following a missionary leader
through those journeys?
Through the journey. You know, what is it like to be to have the Holy Spirit? Say, don't go here.
Exactly.
What's like the Holy Spirit say? This is a good idea. This is sharing the gospel. How can it be wrong?
Exactly.
And the Holy Spirit says, don't go to this region. The Holy Spirit stopped us from doing this. It's like, do you mean the Holy Spirit would stop me from doing something good? Yes, when there's something better and it's His will, but you've got to learn to discern.
It's the power of learning the difference between a good idea and a God idea. You know, there's so many times in, like, I remember here, we're at the Creative Conference, Hillsong Creative Conference 2019, and Joel Houston was speaking about, he said, the weirdest season of his life was when he felt God saying to give up pastoring the New York campus, because he'd gone over there and been, I think, co-pastor with someone else, and he founded the New York campus, and he's like, how can it be wrong for me to be a pastor right now? And it's like, and he realized that, no, that was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. Yeah. And it was that realization of, no, actually my calling is united. My calling is to be a worship leader, not to be a senior pastor. But it's very hard to convince yourself that being a senior pastor is not the will of God, because it sounds so will of God-y.
Yeah. You know? The other thing is, when you look at where Paul, they started off in here in Antioch, Paul had an idea, he was going here. It wasn't until they were going to go there, Holy Spirit said no.
Exactly.
Then they started to head through here, through Mysia, and Holy Spirit, don't go out the Bithynia. I'm like, this is one of the great things. This is the Apostle Paul, who did not know, but he was walking.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay? He discovered the will of God
as he was moving.
As he was moving.
Yep.
He did not get the vision to go to the Macedonia region until he was here. All right? I want it back here.
At one point, you know, we've got there, we're going to Galatia. Actually, no, we're gonna go over here. No. Like, at one point when he says about a vision of Macedonia, to one of the people on the missionary journey, say, Paul, before we set off,
let's
take a day. I just want you to pray for a moment before we head up here and you tell us we're going down. Let's take a breath. Let's see if we
look at the wording. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, Luke joins them at this point. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately Luke's joined them.
Yep.
We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. Okay, this is a group decision.
Time out.
Okay, let's have a chat about this.
Hold up, Paul.
We all in agreement? What Paul's seen? We're all good? Okay, Paul. You've heard from God.
Got to hit into Paul's bags for a few days. Let's just take a moment.
Yeah, it's amazing just reading that, but then putting it into practical. That this is in real life. This is can be frightening, can be scary to be doing things, committing to things, going places. This is on the way. All right. So we're in verse 10. They start in verse 1. All right, so they came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, certain disciples there. So this is the, all right, we're started off, and we're coming in here, Derbe, Lystra. And what happens? It says, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Mm. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Lyconium. Mm. And Paul wanted this man to go with him. There's a reason for that. He's lost his assistant in John Mark.
Yeah.
And he took him and circumcised him. Whoa, this is an adult guy.
Yeah.
Circumcised because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. A lot of questions I have. What in the world? Why would Paul feel the need to do that, considering the battles? Anyway, he did it. So, Timothy, I believe you need to come with us. Good. You need to be circumcised.
That's...
Wow. Okay, that's quite a commitment. You know?
So can we just confirm, is this is pre the journey, okay? Or well, can we just read on? So this is here.
Okay.
So then he's saying they have to go to Galatia.
Yeah, this is before that.
So at what point is Timothy sitting there when Paul's like, actually, I misheard the Holy Spirit, we're not supposed to go to Galatia. When does Timothy start to think, I hope that's the only thing Paul misheard the Holy Spirit on. Surely that one.
Was this a good idea or a God idea?
Is this a good idea? It's like, at what point is Timothy like, I hope to the... Timothy's first question when he got to heaven. Was Paul also wrong in that? Was that of the Lord or was that of...
Because Paul thought we're going to minister in this
Paul
area.
Paul also thought I was heading up there and I just want to know.
The reason he did that was because of the Jews in that area. We're not heading to that area anymore. What?
Sleep with one eye open tonight, Paul. You're
So he joins Tim. So Timothy, all right, I'm in. I'm like, I'm in. I've got skin in the game.
Yeah, literally. Quite literally.
And the first thing he hears, oh, this is exciting. Paul's like,
we're not going
here any afterwards. Okay, well, where are we going? We're not going here. This is Timothy's first experience in following Paul.
Timothy's like, please let it be a Jewish area, I beg of you.
So yeah, how would you like to be Timothy?
Yeah.
What is happening? And at the moment, Paul's traveling with Silas. Silas is going, I don't know, it's my first time too. Is he always like this? I don't know.
Oh, someone needs to make a movie of Timothy and Silas just following along, trying to figure
out. Luke joins them and they're like, Luke, can you help us? Timothy, how are you? Sore! And I've been walking for days! Apparently we were just going to Galatia.
I want to see the meeting. I want to see the meeting where Timothy and Silas just take Luke aside for a second. Just their warning, if he says it, he's like, wait a day, just don't buy him straight away.
And Timothy's like, Luke, you're a doctor, right?
Take a moment to figure things out.
All right. Okay, so then we get down to, go through these regions. All right. In the map, though, Galatia up here. No, let's look at Galatia here. Look at the whole thing through the eyes, which is what I've been doing. Let's look at through the eyes of these are the churches he was writing to. Okay? Because when he said, he didn't name the city, he didn't name them, he just said to the churches in Galatia. All right? So that's enough to send the scholars into hyperdrive.
Yeah.
All right? So you do have what they call the North Galatian understanding, which is because Paul has already visited these churches, so it can't be early on. It has to be later on after he's had time to visit them.
Mm.
And in times, so the date of Paul writing this letter has to be later. And so it has to be sort of, it's all different. One of the things about this is there's, you know, some of the great scholars, there's a guy called, I think it's Ironside. I think I might have some of, I was gifted some of his... commentaries, but from the 1800s. So he, you know, he wrote the 1850s, 1860s. Yeah. Great, you know, great scholar. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that stuff. It's great. But the understanding of where Galatia was came about 1870s, 1880s, as they were doing it. They were discovering things. So he wouldn't have even had access to some of this material. Saying, you know, guess what, Galatia. Because he was a big proponent. Galatia was here. It was the northern Galatian churches. So here, because that's what they knew.
They didn't, because, well, there was no sort of South Galatia for it to be.
So I might be simplifying things a little bit, but really the strength of this has come more, you know, more recently. And so it makes, it's like, this might have been theorized, but now there's actually, makes more sense.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So I'm now looking, I'm reading this through the lens of, these are the churches he was speaking of to, that he said, so we're going to do... We're going to do an overlap, and I want you to do. I want you to go back and read the Acts and Galatians, and just
put it in perspective of time.
Yeah, and what Paul's going through, what he's facing, what he's thinking about, the challenges he's facing. Because it's very interesting, the letter to the Galatians is very different to the letter to the Colossians. And it's not that far away. Colossae is around about here.
Yeah.
I think it's about 100 miles east of Ephesus. So Colossae is about here. So it's in the same sort of region, but this makes sense to me now. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
This is the issues that Paul was dealing with in Galatians are not the same issues that he's dealing with in Colossians, because they'd got over some of the initial issues. Now they're facing different issues. And
who's this? The people?
The people. You know, Paul's writing to situational. And so what he writes to the Galatians about is quite different what he writes to the Colossians about. Mm-hmm. And when you have the letter, like John, 1 John, now we're going to a different author, but we're going later, 1 John written later, he's writing to very different issues. And so this makes sense to me why, if Galatians was written much earlier, but, you know, you put 10 years on or whatever to Colossians, yeah, they're facing different things, even though they're very similar. So, but we can get in the heart and the head of Paul writing to this church by, first of all, going to Acts and reading what happened to get up here. Mm. Now I know, it's Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. These are the places he's writing to. I can go back and read what happened when he was in those churches.
Yeah, exactly.
I also have... This is the first missionary journey. This is the huge change that's happening. Remember, it's all about Jerusalem. It's all about being good Jews.
Yeah.
And suddenly we've got Gentiles. They're preaching in Gentile places. Now they're preaching to Gentiles, and Gentiles are getting saved. Mm. What is the core question that keeps coming up over and over again? How much of the Jewish law do they need to follow in order to be true Christians?
Yeah.
Not to be Jews, but to be Christians. There was an overlap. Yep. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to follow
the... Because the Jewish law was based on biblical concepts and stuff. So
It
was their Bible. So there is going to be overlap in how much...
How much do you need to do? What do you need to do? Even to the point where Paul, in order for us to be able to minister there, had Timothy, had a Greek father...
Had to be circumcised. Because there was still Jewish tradition that needed to be followed.
So to get in there, you know, so it's a huge... And then the question comes, all right, it's nice to follow Jesus, but how much of the Jewish law needs to be still followed in order? Peter... As a born-again believer, and we studied this a couple of weeks ago, refused to go into the house of a Gentile.
Yeah, true.
All right, and he had to have a vision from heaven three times. Paul, what I have called holy, do not call defiled.
Yeah.
And
Peter and, even.
So Peter, sorry. So Peter, good catch. And so Peter's got this.
Is this Acts 8 or something?
Probably a little later, Acts 10. Yeah, Acts 10. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just go back to Acts 10. This is a festering problem that is not solved easily. And there was a certain man at Caesarea, and he's a devout man, fears God, and he gets a vision. Go and send Paul to me. Yep. So Peter's having vision. Peter, the main man, who's very, very religious, very orthodox. He's born again. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's followed Jesus around for 3 years. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking in tongues. He's doing miracles.
Yeah.
People are getting healed from his shadow.
Yeah.
This, you know, Peter is...
Miracle man.
Right? But he's not eating with a Gentile.
Yeah.
He's not sharing the gospel with a Gentile. It's a great gospel, Jesus. This is Jesus who said, this Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they're like, I don't understand what that last part was about. Jerusalem, Judea? All right,
I feel like this is actually a great example, again, of just like, in the Bible, how little... It's something... No, talk to this, because I think there's a bigger concept to it. So let's finish this first.
So he has his vision, and the sheet comes down, four-footed animals. Animals are not allowed to eat as Jews.
Yeah.
And the voice comes, "Air eyes, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's like, "Oh, by no means, Lord." I've never eaten anything unholy and unclean. He's a good Jew. Yeah. He's like, even when the vision from the heaven, it's a test, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And God said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.
Yeah.
Oh. What happened? This happened three times. And immediately the object was taken from the sky. Now, Peter was greatly perplexed. He's like, perplexed. What does this mean?
Mm.
And so then the people appear. They say, we want you to come up and visit Cornelius. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Did you see what it said? Without misgivings. He's pondering. He's unsure. He's seen the vision. He's not sure. Now the Lord says, now go. And he said, go confidently. There comes a time when what God tells you, okay, you draw a line in the sand, you say, well, I act differently now.
Yeah.
I do what I didn't do before. I believe what, I see things differently. I change things. You know, sometimes we struggle with things, you know. Okay, let me give you an example. Sometimes God says, you are righteous in Jesus.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, I believe that, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Like, I know what I've done. I know the struggles I have. I know I know how I, you know, I've said that in the past, then I fail.
Yeah.
God says, I'm telling you, you're righteous in Jesus. And you, and you ponder
now,
it, and you're thinking about it.
Exactly.
And you're taking it on board. Mm-hmm. And then God says, now I want you to go, and I want you to live in that righteousness, and I don't want you to have any more misgivings.
Yeah.
I know.
Stop thinking the other way.
Stop living in the pondering side. I want you now to go with confidence.
Yeah, like that.
There comes a time when you just got to say, I am what righteousness. I am what Jesus
said. If God said it, then that's what I have to just believe.
Enough pondering. God says, I sort of handle the pondering and I give you, but now go.
The greatest misunderstanding about humility is humility is thinking less of yourself.
No.
Humility has nothing to do with thinking more or less of yourself. It has to do with believing what someone else says about you more, or believing someone else's word more than
your own. It's all about...
Humility is about taking on someone else's mindset. Now, most times in culture, that's someone being like, pull your head in, you idiot, and stop thinking you're God's perfect gift to the world and start seeing... And so a lot of the times humility does have that aspect. But with Jesus, a lot of the time, humility is actually about thinking more of yourself and thinking of your own righteousness and thinking of your holiness and thinking of your stance with God. But it's still humility because it's saying, you know what, I can't see this, but I'm going to believe it with no misgivings, as it says there, and say, you know what, if you said it, God, then I'm actually just going to believe it more than what I think about myself. I'm Peter. I'm going to believe what you say about this man more than what I believe, more than what I say about this man. And I'm just actually going to fully go for that. That's true humility, is saying, know what, even though I don't think it, if you think it, God, then that's what I'm going to think.
Yeah.
It's renewing your mind and transforming your mind to take on God's perspective of yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly what humility is about. Mm. And so Peter is instructed, don't do this. Now, so this is a big issue. It's the transition issue. And how much of the law should we do? Okay, well, we're going to go to the Gentiles. We're going to actually go to Antioch. We've sort of covered this past week, so I don't want to do too much.
Yeah,
exactly. We're now in Antioch and we're preaching to the Gentiles. But there's always that undercurrent. Should they be, the bottom line, should they be circumcised to really get them in on the right side?
Mm.
Do they need to be circumcised? And Paul's like, no, you don't. That's Paul makes the call. I'm preaching to you.
Yeah.
You can get saved and you do not need to get circumcised, because circumcision, as he goes into the word of God, you know, it's unnecessary. So that's the bottom line. And so from these chapters 10, 11, and 12, it's all about Peter and the church coming to grips with this. And now the focus has gone to Antioch.
Yeah.
And now they send them out on this missionary journey.
Mm.
So Paul goes to this region. On the way, they have an issue that they go with Barnabas and Paul. They're going with Barnabas's cousin, John Mark. He travels with them till they get to here. And then he says, I've had enough of this, and goes heads and leaves them. That becomes a sticking point, because we now have where I believe Galatians was written.
Okay.
All right. So chapter 14. Um, All right, let's go to chapter 14. So this is the end of this journey now, and you asked why they went backwards. Paul got stoned at Lystra. That's not what some hippies think. Okay, Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch in Syria. Let's go back to verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. All right, why did they go back? That question. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You've been. It's not been an easy road.
And it's even amazing when you read that through the perspective of, like, what they've seen is Paul having to evacuate because he's being...
Yeah.
And Paul came out like, through tribulation. Can you imagine me that church? It's like, we've just seen a guy have to run for his life and be like, remember to... He's like, this is what you're up for. Okay. sounds good.
Yeah, this is it.
Timothy's over the side. You don't know the half of it, bro. you think
Verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed... So they've established churches... Having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So then they go back and they come back down to Antioch. All right, so they establish the churches. They actually appoint elders. They've got leaders. There's real churches there now.
Mm.
This is what they're really doing. And when they got back, they gathered the church together, began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he'd opened the door of faith to the Gentiles.
Mm.
And they spent a long time with the disciples. Mm. So, okay, there's little things when it says long time. Okay, in that long time, I believe this is when Paul wrote Galatians.
Mm.
All right, so he's come back, and he comes back this way. Yeah. You know, this is the second missionary.
Yeah, so if we go back to the first one.
Okay, yeah, so, we'll leave the second missionary journey up. So you can get there from this direction.
They went
that way because they went to Cyprus up there. So they come back this way.
Yeah.
And... bless their hearts, there are a group of Christians who are very adamant.
Mm.
You know what? You actually need to be circumcised if you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Because circumcision is just... all this Jesus stuff is fine, but it's circumcision which sets us apart.
Mm.
It's circumcision that establishes the covenant. It's circumcision that our father Abraham gave us.
And then so just to confirm what you're saying is that basically, first missionary journey, they go down through Cyprus, up and around through what we now is South Galatia, basically.
Yeah.
Get to
Derbe,
go back.
Establish the churches.
Go back, check they've established the churches, gone back, checked it's all going well. Yeah. Got back here, then Paul has sent off the letters.
Well, what he starts to hear is stories
of
people coming back.
This is
trade route. This is why these cities became very strong. They're trade routes, so there's a lot of transport here.
And the letters to Galatians and Colossians, you said?
No, just Galatians.
Just Galatians, you believe, was written between the first and second missionary journey.
So he's got back. He's sitting here back in Antioch. And bless their heart, people are going out from Jerusalem. They're hearing all these stories about these Christians and these Gentile Christians. They're going to fix them up.
Mm.
They go to wherever there's been a Gentile Christian group.
And they're teaching and they're saying, Jewish law.
This is all very good, but you need to get circumcised in order to be fully saved, to be truly saved.
So then Paul's written to Galatians basically saying, that's not the case. Then the second missionary's journeys happen with Timothy.
Yeah.
At what point... after everything Timothy's gone through, has Timothy come across the letter to the Galatians?
No, can I just... He's here.
Yeah, Timothy's there.
He's read the letter.
He's read the letter. It's like, hang on. Hold up.
Question.
Timothy's gone back to the letters.
Yeah, can I get a copy of that letter? Yeah, so this is why
Timothy's come back to it, marked up, bolded, underlined.
Yeah, it's big. It's an issue. Yeah,
big issue there.
It's a big... While he's back here... people have got in there and they're coming behind him with the fixing up teaching.
Mm.
And he's like...
the cleanup crew.
And it's so frustrating for him because he's back here. It's not... you can't just jump on a plane. It's a big thing. You just can't be there. And he's hearing... now, it would be not letters from them. Or there might be some letters, but it's probably just people. Mm-hmm. People are traveling and they come down and he goes, how's the church? Oh, let me tell you what's that. You know, we've got so-and-so from here and so-and-so from... Yep. And they're teaching this. And he goes, well, they're throwing them out? No!
They're taking them in.
they're all saying we need to get, you know, I think we need to get circumcised. Paul, what are they doing? You know, and so he's in this point and he's so frustrated and he's so agitated and he's like, and they, and you know what they're telling, and this is now, how do we know what they are telling you? Because you read in Galatians and you hear the things that he was answering.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, so I'm giving you some of the stuff that you just get, you know, I'm putting it in, I'm seeding it.
But it's treat like Jeopardy. Answers first, and then we get the answers, and then we get figure out the questions from it.
Yeah, so you say, okay, what are they well, they just think about the sort of things they would say, and this is what we understand from what Paul was trying to, you know, when you if Paul was saying, I'm not short, I'm quite tall.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm guessing.
Someone's had a go at his head.
Yeah, someone's having a go at your height, aren't they? Yeah. All right, so you sort of hear what he's answering. You think, okay, what are they? And they're saying, but Paul said, because like we're established, Paul said, good old Paul, is just an echo of some of, you know, some of the other apostles are saying this, but we are bringing the truth.
Yeah.
He's Paul's just echoing. Yeah. He's just saying, you know, that is the apostles, they all sat back in Jerusalem.
Mm.
You didn't, you know, that Peter coming up here to Antioch was a big thing, you know.
Mm.
They're not out here. The apostles are not out here setting things straight.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, don't worry about Paul. It's just echoing what others have said. It's not, you know, this is not what God really wants. Mm. Paul's nice. Paul's a good guy.
Yeah.
But let's give it to you straight. All right. Mm. Let's tell you what's really happening.
Yeah.
All right. So Paul's got to defend himself.
Yeah.
How do you defend it? How do you defend the message you've got? So just think about it for a moment. Mm. We go into the world. We've got the same thing. Yeah. If they say, how do you know? Now, signs followed. That helps.
Yep.
That turns. But after the signs, people still have questions.
Mm.
You know, just because a miracle happens doesn't mean...
All through the Bible, miracles happen, people still doubt.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, that miracle was good, but what's... We face the same thing when you go to witness to your neighbor. It's all good here in church because I say the Bible says and everyone jumps up and says,
hallelujah.
That's exactly right. That's I just have to point to the Bible and people will snap to attention. But exactly. If you go to the world and say the Bible says and they go, so?
In the church, it's the easiest way to win an argument. Yeah. Thus say, I love as a pastor's kid, you've got to see everyone in church. My faith... I love the people that they come into something and they start off like, I've heard God has said this. It's like, okay, you don't want answers. You want us to agree with you. Because when you start with, God has told me this, no one can go against what God has said to you.
Yeah,
thus saith the Lord.
We know God trumps everything, the Bible and everything.
Thus saith the Lord. No, thus saith you. You started with, thus saith the Lord, and no one can win an argument after that.
Paul's got it. So, okay, how does he put weight on what he says?
Exactly.
And so you've got to read Galatians through his... He doesn't start speaking to things until he's positioned. You just do whatever they say.
Mm.
You're just a lackey. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm not a lackey. I'm my own man. Mm. Oh, you're an independent person. Mm. Not independent. You're just a cowboy out there doing everything. No one believes what you say.
Mm.
No, they all believe. Oh, you're just a lackey. I'm not a lackey, and I'm not a cowboy. I'm in between. What am I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I believe what I believe because of the Bible, but I have the affirmation and the confirmation of people that we all trust and know.
Yeah.
But is it true because of these people?
Mm.
Or is it true because Jesus has told me? But it's not just enough for Jesus to tell me. I want the affirmation of the others because it's a bit weird if I'm the only one. If I'm the only one in the whole world that is preaching a particular message, I might be the only one that's true.
Mm.
Truth is not a vote. You don't say, you know, how many... Truth is true. Truth is truth whether no one believes in it. All right? Yeah. So it's not a numbers thing. But... If I'm the only one believing it, is that a good sign? You know, when I studied some things like, I don't think I've ever heard people teach. There's some things I've studied. I don't think I've ever heard anyone teach.
Teaches.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, is there a reason that no one else is teaching this? And mainly it's because I'm misreading it or
yeah,
I just want to see something that, you know, t- takes my heart, but it's not actually in the Bible.
Yeah.
And then I dig. Oh, you know, here's a... No, it was there. I just didn't know it. You know, yeah. I've had to search. You know, here's it's in the net notes. It's in the Unger's Bible Dictionary. It's in Robertson's Word Pictures. Ah, when I struggle, these are reputable resources, and they are affirming what I have seen. I just didn't get it from them. I got it from the Word of God, and hadn't heard it before.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that gives me confidence. Mm. Now, is my confidence in what they say?
No.
Does that give me authority? No. Is my authority from what they say? No, my authority is from what the Word says, but I will appeal to them to help show people that my authority is not...
It's the same way, like, okay, when on a Sunday, you know, we have systems set up at church. Because you'll often see at church, like, if you watch our Sunday services, we have a lot of people get up and they'll speak or give prophetic words and things like that. It's very, very common in our Sunday service. Like, you wouldn't have a Sunday where that doesn't have... happen, basically. But it's not just you get a thought, you share it. We have systems of, we'll take it to someone like myself. If I feel like I get a word from God, I will take it to the pastoral team and get them to discern it. And we use those systems. It's not because if they say it's true or not, it means it's true or not. No. But it's a good way of discerning things, is getting other reputable people to chew on it, think it over in their spirit. And, you know, there are times where people will get it wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Look at Peter. Paul had to call Peter out. So it's like, if people can get it wrong in those moments, it's not saying that as a guarantee. But it's one where it's like, okay, you know, if I felt God telling me I need to go and do something, I'm going to go start a ministry. And I took it to six leaders in the church, and they all came away like, okay, that doesn't fully catch my heart, but it's not necessarily wrong. But if that happens once, I'm like, okay, if I take it to six people and they all sort of have the same idea, that's when I'm going to be like, okay, I want to really pray about this and be 100% assured in my heart. And okay, you want to know how to be assured in your heart? If you find yourself like lashing out at people, it means you're probably, there's something underneath that's got you unsettled. If you find you're getting frustrated at like little things, it probably means underneath there's something frustrating you. It's probably a good chance that it means your spirit's unsettled, and there's, your flesh is doing everything it can to squash it, and your spirit's pushing it up, and it's getting the flesh agitated, basically. So yeah, it's like, that's when you should be really careful in those moments.
And it's an issue, you know.
Exactly.
You know, God gives you a prophetic word.
How do you know?
You know, exactly. And you know, you're just echoing what other people say. So we're not going to actually study. We're going to leave this pretty much here.
Yeah.
But I just want you to realize, okay, so in that verse 28, Acts 14, it says, and they spent a long time with the disciples. Mm. That is when I'm saying this all happened.
Yeah, okay.
All right? So Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. Also, the confrontation with Peter, I'm going to say, happened in this time.
Yep.
So in that order, Peter comes up to Antioch.
Yeah.
There's a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul writes the letter to the Galatians. Mm-hmm.
Would that be connected, do you reckon, why he's writing to the Galatians based on what?
Well, it's a tinderbox. It's the issue of the day. And so for him, he's also showing that, hey, I submit it to Peter, but I also correct Peter.
Yeah.
So I submit under Peter, but then I correct Peter when he needs correction.
Yeah.
It's a, it's an unusual balance. Mm. All right. So I just want you to read the first part of Galatians 1:1. Paul's writing this letter. So he's you read about it in Galatians. You can go ahead and read it.
Mm.
He not only rebukes Peter, he actually says even Barnabas got caught up in this stuff. So like his traveling companion, Barnabas.
No one can fully understand what's going on.
Has got caught up in this thing, and he's not eating with the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I think it's such, it's so.
And then he's getting reports. You know, all those churches that you established, you know, all those churches, they're all turning their back from the gospel. Now you say, okay. All right. Well, okay. If I heard that the church I started has had maybe a different view of, you know, the end time, you know, when Jesus is coming. Oh, okay. That's a bit annoying. They're sort of, you know, they've got a bit of a different opinion about how often you should have communion. All right, you know, these are frustrating things.
Mm.
But this one, are you actually really saved if you're turning back to this? This is, are you actually really going to be a true church?
Yeah.
So this is like, they're dancing around stuff that is going to derail them completely.
Exactly.
So listen just to the start, what sort of mood he's in when he writes this letter. It says, Paul, an apostle, not... Okay, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. All right, now one of the key things there, an apostle is someone who's sent in an official capacity. Mm. So to be an apostle, you've got to be sent. And he's saying, well, who sent me? Mm. Well, I'm telling you, it wasn't the apostles. Mm. It wasn't the...
A disciple just means you're a follower.
Yeah, an apostle means you're sent.
And
it's not a Bible word. It's a, you know, there were apostles, emissaries, people sent with, you know, almost ambassadors, you know, role, their official roles. They're an apostle. Sent with authority. All right? Paul's saying, who sent me? Well, wasn't not the church that sent me. It's not the apostles, but Jesus sent me. God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He's not in a combative mood, is he?
No.
This is who sent me. I'm not just speaking on my... And to all the brethren who are with me, and everyone who's here, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of God and the Father. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, he sounds pretty cool. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only that there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we... or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
Mm.
As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. All right. You can't tell me he's not wound up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about as
strong as he can get.
To say you're a curse. I mean, he is saying these preachers are not just on the different side of a little issue. They are taking you down the wrong path. They are. I'm calling them accursed if they are speaking to you. So, what I want you to do, read Acts 13 and 14. Why we read Acts 13 and 14? These are the churches in Galatia. Read about them. Get to know them. These are the people he's writing to. Mm. Timothy's from one of these churches. Timothy, he would be in here. You know, listen, he's part of... Read about the miracles. Read about the what happened to him. He was stoned. He was killed. Left for dead. And he got up and walked out. Paul literally was killed for these churches.
Yeah.
They stoned him and left him for dead. It doesn't say he was dead, but I believe he was dead, if not good. You know, God miraculously raised him up.
Yeah.
This is the people he gave himself for. He's got huge compassion and heart for them. He's done everything to... He's thrown everything away of himself. You know, when he became a born-again
Christian
believer, following Jesus, all his... studies, his reputation. He was in one place. He says, "I was like a shining star. And I was one of the up and coming leaders. That was like one of the young leaders." That was,
I think he's in
It might be even in Galatians.
Galatians or Philippians, I reckon.
Yeah. So he says, I was, and I had all this. I threw it all away. Why? Because I'm now following Jesus and taking this gospel. So I have given everything. I've come here. And it's not been easy. I'm going with Barnabas. We had a helper. Guess what? The helper deserted us. So I'm doing... We don't even... Yeah. Our helper's gone. Ha! People are killing us. The stupid Jews are doing fine. We preach. They're all good. Until they see the crowds. Then they get jealous. Then they stir up trouble. Then they, you know... I heal a guy. Wonderful. Then they want to offer a sacrifice to me. I say, don't do that. I'm not a god. And he said... So then they get mad. And then they kill me. It's like... What do I have to do for these people? We establish the churches. Mm. We put elders in place. We go. I come back and we're telling how wonderful. While I'm telling you how wonderful it all is, I start to hear reports where, guess what? Some teachers from Jerusalem have gone up there and they're telling them they need to get circumcised and they're buying it.
Yeah.
They're sort of,
yeah.
And Paul's like, okay, I will. And then Peter comes up and he starts to, he's doing good. Peter's eating with the Gentiles. Peter, how cool is this, you know? And Barnabas, we're all, and then it says, some Jews.
Is this in Acts? Acts 15, I think.
No, this is.
Oh, it's in Galatians.
It's in Galatians.
Because it also says in Acts 15, it talks about that.
Yeah, that's a different, it's slightly different.
Okay.
But when, verse 12, for prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw, hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision.
Mm.
And the rest of the Jews joined in the hypocrisy, with the result even Barnabas was carried away by the hypocrisy. They all, Paul is marginalized. He's not joining in. But when I saw they're not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, which is Peter's name in Arabic, if you being a Jew, and so he takes him to task, goes from hard. So he's up in Antioch. He's got all these messages.
Reports of that happening in Galatia.
Now,
it's happening in
Antioch, he's trying, his home base, he's preaching. Peter comes up and he starts to go south. He starts to like, okay, this is not the circumcision thing, but it's on the same path. It's in the same spirit. We've got to cut this off early.
Yeah.
We've got to deal with this. So he deals with that. And then he's like, I'm writing a letter to the churches. That's the letter he writes. In that, the reason I believe that it was in that verse, because you said in Acts
15
verse 1.
I was just reading 15:1. I was just trying to, because it says there came down from Jerusalem.
Yeah. Can I always say, Jerusalem is always up.
Really?
Doesn't matter. You always go up to Jerusalem and you come down from Jerusalem.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out there. I'm like, where they were. I'm like, okay, but that was in Antioch, I'm guessing.
No, it's just spiritually. Jerusalem's the highest point.
Yeah.
Not physically.
Yeah.
But you always go up to Jerusalem and you always come down from Jerusalem.
It's center base.
Yeah.
And it's like, so
don't look at your map and say down or up. Down. And some men came from,
Came down.
From Judea and began teaching the brethren.
Is that to Antioch?
And to Antioch. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas, at least he's on side with this, had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem and to the apostles and the elders concerning this issue. So they go down. So I want you to read chapter 13, chapter 14. This is the Galatian church. Paul comes back to Antioch. The trouble comes to him. It's reports from Galatia.
And the same message. The same issue of Jewish law, basically. Yes. And he's then dealing with Antioch. And at the same time, as he's left Galatia, they've gone into Galatia and started teaching it there. So he's really like, I can't get it.
Now he's got problems here. Now some of the comes up. Peter and Barnabas get caught up, and he rebukes that, fixes that. Some more come up, and they are preaching about this. And so they're having a big debate with them. They said, now Peter must have gone back by this stage, because Peter is, you know, and they say, the church says, we need to sort this. Now, can you hear this? Paul has been preaching it. You can say, I've sorted it. But they're like, I think we need to go down and get it endorsed. You need to go down there and let's get this sorted. So Paul's word's not enough for them in Antioch.
Yeah.
And Barnabas is like, go down, talk to the apostles. Now, when they go down there, you read in chapter 15 what happens, and the people that are in there. And it talks about ex-Pharisees who become Christians but are still holding to the Pharisee sort of mindset. But they're Christians.
Yeah.
Pharisee Christians. You wouldn't even... We don't have it today, so this is a real strange concept that people that are Christians still hold Pharisaical ideas. Anyway, you can be amazed in the book of Acts. So he goes down there, they write a letter to state you do not need to be circumcised. It's not necessary to be a Christian. It's a letter of official endorsement
by the
apostles, signed off. It gets sent by two men, one called Judas. Now,
not the Judas.
No, and they say Judas called Barsabbas. I'm guessing, I've meant to look this up. I'm guessing if your name's Judas, you probably had a nickname that you like to use because something about the name Judas.
Judas back then wasn't a great.
Yeah, so anyway, Judas and a guy called Silas. okay, these two guys, respected people in the church, get to take the letter back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas and say, okay, here is the letter. And they get the letter and they go, yay! You know, Paul's like, this is what I told you. Anyway, but they need a letter.
Yep.
Now, I'm thinking, Paul does not write the letter to the Galatians without mentioning that letter unless he's writing before the letter's been made.
Mm.
All right, I can't imagine that Paul would write to the Galatian church and not mention that letter.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Because I think that's it's too big a...
Yeah, okay, think...
Now, it's not 100%, you know, it's an argument from silence. So it's 100, and also, he was trying to say, I'm endorsed by them, but I'm not endorsed by them. So maybe he thought the letter would be seen like he's too much support. But the fact that he talked about getting their endorsement, the fact that he's talking about their support.
If you think in terms of
I just can't imagine you would have a letter like that. You wouldn't
You think you wouldn't in talk about it. A modern day analogy of you know, if I was trying to argue, even take it out of Christian terms, you know, a case against a medicine or something like that, you know, and there was suddenly a, you know, or like, for instance, there's a court trial going at the moment with, is it Clive Palmer again?
With regarding the
vaccine. It's like, and this isn't whether that's right or wrong, but I'm saying, like, if he's doing that and you're doing it, you're suing and over a vaccine. And
if there's a court case that's ruled...
A court case, and suddenly there's a high-level doctor has released a study and released a report talking about the issues with that vaccine. There's no way you're going into court without taking that report or bringing them on it on the stand. Because it's the most obvious thing you do is... Let me cross-reference it with someone else who you are going to trust in this field.
This letter was designed to put
this question to bed. There's no way you wouldn't use that.
That's my opinion. All right, it's an opinion. You can't back it up. My opinion is that Paul wouldn't write the letter to the Galatians and not mention it if he had access to it.
Yeah.
But if he writes it at chapter 14, verse 28,
and they remain.
And they spent a long time with the disciples. So before the others come in, you have Peter comes up, you rebuke him. Things with Barnabas gets a bit testy. They get that sorted. Then he writes to the Galatians, and then this happens, and they go down to get this letter. All right. Then the next thing is he says, I think we should go back. If you look at chapter 15, verse 36, the very next step is... And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return
and visit the brothers in every city,
which we proclaim the word of God. He wants to go. And he said, let's go. Let's go there.
The letter's probably already been sent.
Yeah. They'll take the letter.
Yeah, of course. True.
He said, let's take the letter. Let's go and let's have this letter read to them.
Yeah.
This is
exactly.
Because this letter, it says...
No, it's in, like, he's probably already sent the book of Galatians. Yeah, that's already been sent. Yeah,
so the letter of Galatians is gone. Now they've got this endorsement.
Let's go send this as well.
In Antioch it says, and they had it, when they read this, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. It's like, another this is good.
Another reason to believe that book was written before then is that's another way of showing that he clearly did want to use that letter as an endorsement to the concept. So he was happy to use the letter, but he had to use it at a later time.
Yeah. So he says, let's go. And then things go south. Because Barnabas says, yes, I think you're right. I'll go get John Mark.
Yeah.
No. All right. You can read about that. We won't go into this because it becomes an issue.
Can we just quickly point out, I think I've just discovered that the ESV is the most Aussie translation I've ever read. Because can you read Acts 14... 28 and then to 15:2 basically. So from 14:28 in the New American, it says, and they spent a long time with the disciples.
Yeah.
And then some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you were circumcised. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas. In NSV, read...
Which one? ESV?
The ESV. Does this not read like the most Aussie
put it in.
Translation of all time? Go back to 14:28.
Yeah. So...
And there remained no little time with the disciples.
Yeah.
But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them.
Like, that's the most Aussie way of putting it. Yeah, like, no. There was no, it was no small debate that they had going on. Like, it's the most... hearing Aussie comedians, like, Aussies will say, we're very sarcastic, and we'll say the opposite of what it's like, how's the weather? Or it ain't cool.
Yeah.
How's the weather? It ain't warm out today. Yeah, yeah. How was it? It's not cheap. Yeah. How was it? It was no small debate. Yeah. Like, it's the most Aussie sounding verse I've ever.
Yeah, we don't say what it was. Yeah. We just say what it wasn't.
What did they do? Well, they spent no little time with the disciples.
Yeah, how much did that cost? Well, it wasn't cheap.
How'd it go? Well, it wasn't a small debate. Let's put it that way.
Well, how'd it go? It wasn't quiet.
It wasn't quiet.
Yeah. We don't say what it was. We'll say what it wasn't.
I'm like, it's the most Aussie sounding verse I've ever read.
No small debate.
What did you do? Well, they spent no little time with the disciples.
Whereas the Americans, and there was a great,
and they spent a long time with the disciples. So they spent time.
But actually, ESV is more accurate.
Yeah,
it's using
Greeks are sarcastic.
using the Aussie. There's no little debate. So
it's just the most Aussie sounding verse I've ever read.
All right, so. Your homework, in the sense, well, you know, just...
14, 15.
Read chapter 13 and 14. 13, 14 to start with.
And then...
That's the Galatian churches. Read Paul's story. Then read...
I'm going to put this in the comments as we're doing it. So if you are interested, you can copy this out of the comments.
Yeah.
Let's do that for people as we go.
Okay, so you're reading Galatians in 13 and 14, because that's Paul's journey to the... To the Galatian churches. He establishes them, gets them set up. Take note of what happens when that John Mark leaves them.
Galatian churches. Hopefully I'm typing this right. It's tiny text on there, so I think I'm right. Get to know the Galatian people, culture, and churches. Then...
Okay.
Galatians 15.
No, Acts.
Oh, sorry, Acts. Oh.
Well, I would read, then read Galatians. In the light of Paul now writing to this church. There are all these churches.
You... just met, and their cultures and battles.
Okay, hit return so people can see that, because otherwise they can't.
I'll send it all through as well.
Well, I'm going to say, do it now.
Yeah.
And then you can send another one. I'm just saying, because people are like, okay, they can read that, what you've done.
Then read Acts 15.
Yeah, read Acts 15, which is what happens next.
And... the writing of the letter that Paul took to the Galatian church in his second. Like that?
Yep.
There we are. So if you're looking for things to read this week, you can take that. That should hopefully give you a bit of a background of it.
Yeah.
Understanding of it. Hopefully that helps you a little bit.
So you do that with get some maps out. So you can read the places, follow Paul's journey.
Was it iMap? Is that the...
iBible Maps.
iBibleMaps.com.
iBibleMaps.com.
I think I've spelled that right. There we are. iBibleMaps.com. So you can use that if you want to as your reference guide.
Yeah. And just follow the journey. You can... look up other maps if you've got a Bible with maps at the back, even better. You can sort of...
Give me a second. I just want to check something. Whether you can get this for free.
Yeah, so you can just read through this, putting yourself in the place of Paul and then Barnabas and what they're doing.
Because what I think Acts 15 will do well for you is it'll give you the perspective of what it was they were fighting. So Acts 15 is the argument they had. That's probably the same argument that's happening in Galatia that he's writing to. So it gives you an understanding of the background. Because I think this is what I was going to say before. One thing you have to remember, and I think two things to keep in mind when you read the Bible.
Yeah.
One is it's God breathed. It means it's got God's life in it. It got God's revelation. etc.
Yeah.
Number two is that it's also a book. So it's written by someone for a purpose. We've talked about that already. The Acts is written by Luke as a historical account of what happened in the early church, you know. Different books are written for different purposes. So Galatians was written by Paul to that church in that story. That's really good. So it's written both from the perspective of, you know, as you said, what the Galatians are going through. You also have to realize what Paul was going through. Is like, have you ever like listened to a preacher start preaching and you can tell
he's had a bad week.
You've had a bad week. You've come out grumpy as all. And you're just sitting there mad as eggs with everyone. And like, you can tell that they're not in a good space. Best example. I'm like, oh, that wouldn't happen in the Bible. If you don't think that happens in the book of, go read Leviticus. Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes. That's someone who's just given up on life and everything sucks under the, under the sun is stupid and this and that. And
it doesn't make.
Nothing makes sense and the world's dumb. And like, so you have someone in a bad mood, but teaching about God still. So it's like how the person is will impact. So that will give you the best understanding of where Paul's at mentally when he's writing this.
When you read
and where the Galatians
when
are.
When you read through the book of Galatians, some of the modern translations have tried to sugarcoat when he says that they should circumcise themselves.
Yeah, exactly. What he's talking about there, yeah.
He should tell them to go all the way.
Yeah, get out of it. Paul is not exactly.
Sweet sugarcoating it. And so you want to read this. We will talk next week. We'll maybe look through Galatians chapter 1 and 2 and then correlate it with the other story, Paul's initial story. There's some stuff in there. If I get into it now, I'll
we'll be here for 2 days.
Yeah.
I love it though.
But just don't get too anxious if you say, oh, the timelines don't match up quite right. Yep. Just relax, all right? You can sort of, the ways that Luke will report history is a little bit, you know, we can't put our Western mindset on it sometimes.
Yeah.
So it works all fine.
Like, for instance, the up to Jerusalem.
Yeah, and things like that. It's just, you know, what Luke will pay attention to is different. Luke's writing the story from a different reason. Paul's writing it for a very different. We'll talk about that. And we'll look at Paul. We'll just, you know, take the stories. But if you just do what I've said, it'll give you the bigger picture and you can put that in. When it says we went to Jerusalem, he's not talking yet about the time. It's talking about earlier times. So just keep that in mind when Paul says, I went to Jerusalem. He hasn't been to the Acts 15 time yet. It's an earlier time. So you got to just slot that in. But it'll all make sense. The main thing is go now and study it, read it for yourself, chew on it, think about how this applies to you, what it's like for you and your life. Hey, you know, think about, you can read ahead if you want to read Acts 16 and 17 when they start the second missionary journey. Just imagine what it's like heading off on the missionary journey and not knowing exactly where you're going or think you know where you're going but have it change. But the main thing, immerse yourself in it, let the word of the Lord become your word.
And we'd love to hear about that stuff as well. I was just thinking, one thing we love here is Academy, the reason we opened it up is because, you know, we wanted to, it's not a Bible school, so to speak, but we want that sort of that school academic mentality. And one thing I love in school is if I'm studying something and I don't understand it or I get a thought, first thing I do is I take it to the teacher and get a quote. Yeah. So if you're reading it this week and you have thoughts, we'd love to hear that. Throw it in, if you're in the Breakthrough Family Facebook group, that's a great place. Comment it there, we'll keep an eye on that. If there's thoughts that come through, if you message us, you can find it on that website, breakthrough.org.au. You can comment it on one of these videos or comment it at the start of next week's video. If you have a thought based on what you've learned from the last couple of weeks, or if you have a question based on it, we'd love to answer that. I'm most likely I'm going to kick it over to Pastor Peter to answer your questions, but feel free to comment a question like, hey, last week I was studying this and this didn't quite make sense to me. What did this mean? Or would this be tying into this reference, etc.? We'd love to hear those thoughts. That's what Academy is there for, is having those times. So feel free to do that as well.
And I love Katie. She says, only two wise
men. Only two wise men, that's
it. Well, Katie, I think you exaggerate the two.
Maybe one and a half wise men today. I got wiser the more coffee I got into me, I think.
All right. Thank you so much for joining with us. Appreciate the people that are here.
It's so good to have you guys
in the studio with us.
So much fun.
That's been a lot of fun doing this. Go home and cry a tear for Timothy. Yes. All right.
See you guys. Bless you guys. As you said, you know what to do this week. You know the readings. That'll help you set up for next week if you want to. There's no pressure. This isn't... there's not going to be a test. The exam isn't until June, and we've only got the 3 day seminar coming in.
This is just for you to
this
explore.
This is for you to enjoy it if you want to. Sunday morning, be here in person. We got a few bit of a different service this Sunday.
Yeah,
we've
special. We're honoring the legacy and the message.
The 1 year anniversary of Pastor
Dr.
Jerry Seville passing away. We're going to be talking about that. We'd love you to be in person or online on Sunday. OPD, you are wise. Yes, that's what we're talking about. The one and a half wise men.
Yeah. Thanks to my wife who always keeps me humble.
Poor Timothy, and I love that. Poor Timothy. I think that's the sermon for today. And so Sunday, be there in person or online. Wednesday night, we've got grow teams this week. Make sure if you don't know what a grow team is, check that out. You want a place where you can apply the lessons you're learning in academy?
Yeah.
Grow teams. That's where you do that. That's where that has a really good opportunity for that. And next Friday, be back in person as we learn more about what did you say before? We're going to be studying Galatians still?
Yeah. We're going to blend them together.
Blend them together. I'm excited for that. Be blessed, online family. Have a really good week. We'll see you next. See you Sunday. See you next Friday.
We have tonight.
Youth is on this.
We have our Jesus seekers. If you know someone who's a teenager, that's the age group.
Yeah.
It's online, so they can just join in a Zoom discussion where you learn the things that we're learning here about how to live for Jesus. They're doing at a teenager level, but it's the same powerful truth.
But it's just adapting to a different life.
It's using illustrations and stories, but it's powerful truth. It is full on faith building truth. So if you know a teenager, contact us.
Go to that website.
We can put you in touch with the details.
And we can get you the Zoom links, etc. Be blessed, online family. We'll see you next Friday. Bye for now. Bye-bye.